Good morning. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to see some new faces here this morning. Welcome. Pray that God would bless your time together with us here this morning. I'd like to introduce myself. I'm Dan Olin, and I'm here during the winter time off and on, pretty much all winter. But I'm from Tri-Cities, Washington, Pasco, Washington, where I serve there, the congregation, with three other ministers. It's a blessing to be here with you this morning. We do pray that God would speak to your heart and my heart through his word this morning, that he would give us ears to hear and hearts to receive that message that he has for us this morning. As we read that Psalms 51, David's prayer to God, I would just like to read again a few words that I think about often, that every day as we start a new day, if we would speak unto the Lord, beginning in 10th verse of that 51st Psalm, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, or take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Them are good words for us each day, is that God would create in us a clean heart, that he would give us the right spirit as we walk here on this earth. But I've chosen for our text this morning from this second epistle of Peter, the first chapter. And we'll read in Jesus' name the first 11 verses thereof. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if these things be in you and abound, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and that cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be administered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen." We have here before us Peter's writing to several people. As we look at the first epistle, he speaks to those that were scattered in all different areas around Rome, and he speaks unto them. But more importantly, he speaks to you and I this morning. And he says, of course, Simon Peter, he was one of Jesus' apostles. He was the one that was bold, little bit maybe outspoken at times, but he was kind of like the spokesman for the apostles. And here he says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here Peter talks to them about this faith that he has, and that we have that same faith that the apostles had. And Peter, he was an eyewitness of the Lord. He traveled with him for 3.5 years. He was on the Mount Transfiguration. He heard that voice out of heaven of God the Father saying that, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. You know, but he says, we have the same like faith. Even though we haven't seen the Lord, we haven't traveled with him like Peter did, but we have the same faith, that same precious faith. And isn't it precious, that faith that we have in Jesus Christ? And he says, that faith, that it comes through the righteousness of God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's not of our righteousness. It's not of our doing that we have earned it through our own righteousness, but it's through the righteousness of God and Jesus Christ and what he has done. If you look at faith, in the 11th chapter of Hebrew, you know, our faith chapter in the Bible, it speaks of faith and what faith is. In the beginning of the 11th chapter, it says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And then the 6th verse of the 11th chapter, he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So this is what faith is. And how do we receive this faith? It's through his word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God, that we receive this precious faith that we have. Then Peter has a greeting that is unto us even this morning, as he greeted those that he spoke of there to the churches. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Here he speaks of that grace, that unmerited favor, that gift of grace that God has given unto us, and that peace that we have in our hearts, that the world cannot understand and does not understand. That peace that passes all understanding. That peace is knowing that our sins are forgiven. That Christ went to that cross and he shed his blood to the last drop for you and for me. That even this morning that we can believe our sins forgiven because of what he's done. And through his blood that he shed on that cross of Calvary, we can be encouraged through that gospel message even this morning. And I encourage each one of you to believe that all your sins are forgiven because of what Christ has done. And there's no way, as we see that when he speaks to them, that this grace and peace would be multiplied, that it ever be increasing unto them. And today that's the same thing with us, that this grace and peace would be multiplied unto each one of us. And how do we get this? It says through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. The knowledge of what God has done for us through his Son Jesus Christ. That forgiveness that we have through him, and that hope of salvation. And this knowledge is not this natural intellect, but it's a faith knowledge. We cannot have this knowledge just by our own intellect, but it's through the Word that we receive this knowledge. And then it goes on, according to His divine power, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. It's in the knowledge, again, of God and Jesus our Lord. God's peace, grace and peace, we know is connected directly to our knowledge of Him. And He, through His divine power, that Holy Spirit that was given on the day of Pentecost, that each one of us has as believers, that divine power has given us all things that we need for this life and for godliness. The Holy Spirit directs us in all truth. That Holy Spirit lives within each one of us. And that Holy Spirit enables us that we are able to overcome sin that so often comes into our life. That it's through the power, this divine power that we have been given, and it's through the knowledge of Him that has called us to virtue, to glory and virtue. He has called us . So it's God's work. He has called us. As we read in Philippians, in the second chapter, 12th verse, whereby, my beloved, as ye has also obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. He has called us by His glory and virtue. And through His word, we are strengthened in our faith. And through the sacraments, we are also strengthened in our faith. So it's so important that we are in His word to have this knowledge of Him. And that we would partake of the sacraments, that we would be strengthened in our faith. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. It's through the knowledge Him that has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be partakers of His divine nature. That through these great and precious promises that He has given us through the Scriptures, there's many promises. The promise that He would send His Son, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a great promise for us today. And that He is the promises that He'd send His Son, that His Son had died on the cross, that our sins are forgiven, that we might be partakers of that divine nature, that we would be new creatures in Christ. And even as Paul writes to the Romans in the 6th chapter, he speaks of our baptism. In the 6th chapter, Romans read a few verses there. Know ye not that so many of us that are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? Wherefore we are buried with him in baptism into his death. That is like as Christ is raised up from the dead to the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in his likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin. In the 10th verse it goes on, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments unto unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments unto righteousness. And that's the same thing that Peter here is talking about, is that we would yield our members unto righteousness as he goes through all the things here that we should add to our faith. Besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. He fears that make every effort, is what Peter's telling us, that we would be diligent and to add these things to our faith, that we would make every effort to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they will make that you should neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here Peter's telling us, and as he told them, that add to your faith these things, that our lives would be those that are of Christians, that we would be followers of Jesus Christ, and that we would always make every effort that this old man would be crucified daily, that this new man may come forth, that this new nature that we have in Christ Jesus would become really our nature. And if we practice these things, we need to practice these things, that we should make every effort to do these things, that these things would be added to our faith. Temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, all these things. And as we examine ourselves, we see that we have failed in these things. But God works through his word to work repentance in our hearts, that we would have a desire to change, that we would have a desire to fall closer to Jesus and to do these things. It says, for if these things be in you and abound, that if these things are found in your life and they abound in your life, there's a promise here that ye shall never be barren or unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I think about being barren, unfruitful, and being in Christ Jesus, I think of when Jesus spoke of, I am the vine, ye are the branches, in John, the 15th chapter, how that everything that we have, the strength that we have, the nourishment for our life as Christians, all come through that vine. And that if we're not in the vine, we can't do anything. But it says, like, if you don't abide with me, you cannot do nothing. But if we abide in that vine, all things are possible. So that each one of us, as we look at the picture of this vine, that we would be connected to Jesus. And even, I like Ephesians, you know, the first three chapters of Ephesians go through all the things we have in Christ Jesus. That he has given us everything that we need for this life. In the first part of the Ephesians, it says, "Blessed be the God of our Father, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus." He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. According to that, he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He has chosen us, he has called us to walk this life, as we read earlier. He has called us to this life as Christians, that we would walk in these things. If we do these things and they abound in our lives, that we will not be barren or unfruitful. Ninth verse, he goes on, "But he that lacketh these things cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." If we forget these things, if we lack in these things, we are blind or nearsighted, that we only see the things in this life. We don't see beyond that. It says that we are blind, cannot see afar off unto eternal life. And it's so easy to be caught up in this life. There's so many things, the cares of this world that come in our lives, that we get caught up with them. And we always got to be brought back what is really the priority. And we need to consider what our priorities are in this life. Are they for this life, or is it for eternal life? And these things are, you know, for Lutherans, we're saved by grace through faith. And sometimes these things are hard to talk about because it almost appears that you have to do these works. But these works are supposed to come because you're Christians, not to make you Christians. We don't do these things that we might be forgiven, but we do these things because we are forgiven. And if we forget about these things and become nearsighted or blind, then we've forgotten what God has done for us through Christ, that he's purged us from our sins. He's given us that peace in our hearts, and he's given us that hope of salvation. "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, that if you do these things, you should never fall." Here's a promise unto us, that if we do these things that Peter speaks of here, that we will not fall. And these things are that we would, these things that we do in this life would be that we are sure. It gives us assurance that God is in us and working through us, and that our salvation is sure. That make your calling election sure. It's for our sake that we would be encouraged. That we would know that God is working through us, and through his word and the knowledge of him and what he has done. that through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we are able to do these things. We know it's all through here. It talks about knowledge and knowing God. Not with an intellectual knowledge, but a personal faith knowledge of what he has done for us through Jesus Christ. The promise is, if you do these things, you should never fall. Some would say, some other translations say, stumble. Because if we don't pay attention to these things in our lives, we may stumble and fall on our journey here. So it's important that we keep these things in mind, that we add these things to our faith. It's not for our salvation, because we are saved. Salvation's a free gift. So it's not that we can earn our own salvation. We're not born into it. In our last verse, it says, so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's a promise for salvation for each one of us. And oh, that we could believe that today. That there is going to be provided for you and I that salvation, that we would be spend eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Even in the next chapter, the third chapter of the same epistle, he talks about this promise of a new heaven and a new earth. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, the 13th verse, it says, nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. This is what we look forward to. That we look forward to that new earth. New heaven and new earth where righteousness dwells. Know that each one of us would be encouraged this morning in our walk of faith. That we would be assured of our forgiveness of our sins. That each one of us would truly have that hope of eternal life. That's important things, that we would have that knowledge of what Christ has done for us. In the very last verse of this epistle, says, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. May God bless his word into each one of your hearts this morning. Let us close with prayer and benediction. Father in heaven, we again come before you this morning, thanking you for all the many blessings that you have so abundantly blessed us with. All these things that are needful for our life here. But most of all, Lord, we thank you for the great salvation that you provide for each one of us through thy Son, Jesus. And oh, Lord, that you would work in each one of our hearts, that we would make every effort to add these things that Peter talks about, that we spoke of, to our faith. That our calling election would be sure, and that we would have that glorious entrance into that eternal kingdom. That these things would be added to our life, that we would not stumble or fall, but we would be assured of that faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we just pray that you would be with each one of us in this coming week, that you would lead and guide us through thy word each and every moment of our lives. Now let us hear the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.